We welcome you this evening into the Lord's house in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you for coming and joining with us. We pray that God will richly bless us together. We're turning to the hymn 390, and it is, Dear Saviour, Thou art mine. How sweet the thought to me. Let me repeat Thy name and lift my heart to Thee. Mine, mine, mine. 390, we'll stand. Let's worship God together, please. In the presence of the Lord tonight, let's seek the face of God together at the throne of grace and prayer. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we bow in Thy holy and Thy sacred presence in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only King and Head of His Church. We thank Thee, we praise Thee for the privilege of gathering in another gospel evening service. We thank Thee that we can gather around Thy precious Word and know with blessed assurance that Thy Word is truth. We thank Thee, though heaven and earth may pass away, My Word shall never pass away. And I pray that by Thy Holy Spirit, that Thou will come and minister in this gathering tonight. Lord, we want indeed Thy holy presence with us in a mighty way. We ask Thee that Thou will stir our hearts afresh. And as we open Thy precious book, O God, speak to each and every one of our hearts. Thou knowest every man, woman, young person is gathered here. Thou knowest their standing before Thee. Thou knowest their personal situation. But, O God, more than anything else, Thou knowest the standing of their soul. And oh God, I pray that there's someone tonight in this gathering or listening into the service, and they're still strangers to Thee and to Thy saving grace. We ask of Thee that by Thy Holy Spirit that Thou wilt open their eyes. Oh God, we're reminded on that road to Emmaus, those disciples' eyes were holden, that they did not recognize that it was the Savior. But oh my God, I pray that Thou will open eyes tonight, that Thou will reveal to those that are still in their sin their great need of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee, our God, that Thou art passing this way. We pray that, our God, that by Thy Holy Spirit that Thou wilt move. And we would cry out for this service in Ballygowan, pass us not, O gentle Savior, hear our humble cry. Whilst on others Thou art calling, do not pass us by. And O God, I pray the souls will cry out to Jesus to save them from their sin. For Thy word reminds us, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so, Lord, honor Thy precious word, the ministry of it. We ask of Thee that Thou wilt take complete control, that Thou wilt cover the meeting in the precious blood, and may Thy Spirit go from seat to seat and from heart to heart, speaking to individual and personal needs. Thank You, O God, for this privilege of gathering in Thy house. And, O God, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And tonight, Lord, we're in Thy house afresh. We thank Thee for Thy presence with us this morning. We thank Thee for the note of victory in the midst of all the darkness, in the midst of all the gloom. We thank Thee, our God, that there's a note of victory through the blood of Christ and through our great captain, the captain of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do us good. Remember all of our sister congregations. Remember our lamb tonight. Oh my God, I cry to Thee that Thou wilt turn it afresh to Thyself. And grant, Lord, that man's heart might be broken over their sin, and they might cry unto Thee for salvation. Answer prayer. Remember our gracious sovereign, Queen Elizabeth, we pray that Thou wilt bless her. And oh God, the royal family, and bring the last one to Jesus. And close them too in with Jesus Christ. Oh, that they might hear the sweet, simple news of the gospel, that Christ receiveth simple men. Oh God, tell it o'er and o'er again. Christ receiveth simple men. Answer prayer. Glorify Thy name in this service, and we'll give Thee the praise, the honor, and the glory for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. We're turning to another hymn, 313. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. 313. And let's stand and sing this hymn together, please.
I am going to a city where the streets of gold rain, where the tree of life is from all temptation, where roses never fail. Here they bloom, but for a season, soon all their beauty is I am going to a city where the roses never fail. White rain. Now they're waiting for my coming, where the roses never fail. There they bloom, but for a soon all their beauty is decayed.
Thank God.
I am going to a city where the roses never fail. But for a season, soon all their beauty is decayed. I am going to a city where the roses never fail. I am going to a city where the roses never fail. You came into this world one day, helpless little child, to live your life, to spend a few short years. But oh, how soon the day comes when you must go away. You'll leave for good, you'll not return again. At the river of Jordan, all alone, at the river you'll leave it all behind. Friends can't help or ease your pain. All its riches are in vain at the river of Jordan, all alone. The years so quickly pass you by, the shadows begin to fall. Try to live your life the best you could, but what does it profit any man, even if he gains the world? In the end, he loses his own soul. At the river of Jordan, all alone, at the river you'll leave it all behind. All its riches are in vain at the river of Jordan, alone.
Tell me, friend, when you come to the river of Jordan, will you be all alone? At the river, God leave it all behind.
Friends can't help or ease your pain. All earth's riches are in vain. And you come to that river all alone. Yes, you come to death's river. Will you be alone?
And ask our brother to come and make the necessary announcements at this time, please.
Thank you, Mr. McRae. We do give you a warm welcome tonight again to our service. We thank you for your attendance on this lovely Sunday evening. We do pray that God will meet with us and bless us. We thank you for the ministry of the Word this morning by our brother. We enjoyed that word. It was a word in season, even to all of our hearts. We do welcome him tonight in the Saviour's name, and his wife along with him, and we pray that we might know God's blessing even tonight. We do welcome others that have joined with us here in the church, others listening at home online. We pray that God will indeed speak to every heart this evening. Offering baskets will be in the foyer and at the doors outside the gallery as you leave the service. this evening, Tuesday evening, Bible study and prayer time in the church hall, and Mr. Andrew Irwin, first year student for the ministry in the college, will be along to speak with us. We do trust that you will join with us even after the message this morning. May God challenge your hearts to be at the place of prayer, to be faithful, and to attend the prayer meeting on Tuesday evening. Next Lord's Day, the 15th, Sunday school at 10 a.m, family worship 11:30, the gospel service at 7 p.m, and the preacher at the services next Lord's Day will be Dr. Greenfield. The soloist in the evening, our brother Mr. Stephen Patterson. Those meetings are prayer meetings will be held prior to those services, 11 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. Missionary Council offerings will be taken up at both services next Lord's Day. Very quickly, we mentioned the meetings this week in the Lisburn Free Presbyterian Church, Mission Vision in connection with our Mission Board, and full details of those meetings are on that card. Do pick them up on the tables as you leave. As well, we have still some of the CDs, DVDs available. If you would like one, if you see me, and we'll be able to provide you with one of them. And again, the Reverend Nathan McVeigh is in charge of the congregation this week regarding any emergencies that will arise in the absence of Mr. Smiley and the Reverend Murray. So if you do need him, contact myself or one of the elders and we will arrange things for you. We're going to hand the meeting back to the Reverend McCrae, and we trust that God's blessing will be upon him tonight in the proclamation of the Word of God. Thank you.
My brother, certainly a joy to be here, and we pray that God will indeed bless our coming together around especially the Word of the Lord. Now we're going to sing one more hymn together. It's 227, and the words of that lovely old hymn, and simply, "Is there a heart that is waiting, longing for pardon today? Hear that lad message is passing this way." And it's number 227, if you've got the hymn books, or the words will be up here on the screen. Let's stand to sing together the words of this lovely hymn. Amen. I'm going to sing verses 1, 2, and 3 of this hymn together. Let's stand to sing. Want to open our Bibles this evening in the book of John's Gospel in the chapter number 14. John chapter 14. And with our Bibles open, we're going to bow our heads for a wee word of prayer and commit ourselves to the Lord at the throne of grace. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious and Thy holy word. And we pray that by Thy Holy Spirit that Thou will write Thy word upon each and every one of our hearts. Lord, as we come face to face with the Lord Jesus, even in those last days of His life, we ask of Thee, our God, that Thou wilt upon this earth, Lord, we ask that Thou wilt write these words upon our hearts. We thank Thee for the blessed Savior who ever liveth to make intercession for us. We thank Thee there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. We thank Thee there is one in the glory at Thy right hand who ever liveth to make intercession for His people. O God, I pray in Jesus' name that You'll bless us as we gather round Thy book, and Lord, give me the power I need. Help me to be faithful to my lovely Savior. Cover me in the precious blood. Fill me with the Holy Ghost and with power and liberty. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Return to John chapter 14. A familiar passage of God's Word, but may the Spirit of God write these words upon our hearts, spoken by the Savior Himself. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas said unto Him, Lord, we know not whither Thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. We end our reading there, and we know that God will add His blessing to the reading of His infallible truth for His name's sake. Amen. When you look at the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ for those 3 years that He ministered and preached the Word, we find indeed that it always comes to a particular time, doesn't it? It's the last week on earth. At the beginning of the Lord Jesus, of that week, we find the Lord Jesus comes with that triumphal entry into Jerusalem. The people are crying out. They're hailing Him as their Messiah, the Prince of Peace. They're quoting from the Psalm 118, which is the Messianic Psalm. And they proclaimed Him as the King of Israel. You know, as the Lord Jesus listened to all those words and cries and proclamations of victory, the Lord Jesus wept over that city. And down the cheeks of our Savior ran those warm, beady drops of tears. And the Lord Jesus looked over a city that He had come to. He did His miracles in. He preached the Word. He healed the sick and gave life to those who were dead. And yet, He realizes that city was going to be judged. The city weeps over that city because he realizes that soon after his death, Titus would come with his army and would destroy that city. Also, the Savior knew that those same people that were hailing him and shouting for him would soon cry against him. We will not have this man to rule over us. Isn't it amazing how fickle man is, friend? That one day they can be loving you and applauding you, and the next day they cast you aside. That's what they did with the Savior. And so the Lord Jesus wept over that city. And then he brought his disciples to the upper room. He sat there with them. And from the 13th chapter of John's Gospel to the chapter number 17, the Lord Jesus is instructing his disciples. First of all, it says, having loved his own, he loved them, yes, unto the end. The Lord Jesus in that room, it says in verse 1 of chapter 13, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, what hour, friend? That he would depart out of this world. He knew. But you know, the Word of God tells us, we know not the day of our death. And here we are in the service in the house of the Lord tonight, and there's not one of us know what a day may bring forth. And the Word of God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what one day, a day, will bring forth. And there's not one of us know in this congregation in Ballygodd whose seat will be empty next Lord's Day. That's a solemn reality. For the Word of God reminds us, we all must needs die. And the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, he said that Jesus knew that his hour was come. See, the Savior lived on a heavenly timetable. John's Gospel chapter 2, it says, mine hour is not yet come. We find in John's Gospel chapter 12 and verse 23, Jesus said, the hour is come. And in John chapter 13, his hour was come. Let me ask you a question, friend. What if this evening your hour has come? Tell me, where are you going? Where would you be if God was to say to you tonight, this very night, even sitting in the house of the Lord tonight, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Tell me, what then? For Job said, man dieth, and man wasteth away, and man giveth up the ghost. He has to. He has to give up the ghost. Why? Because God demands it. Because the God who gave has the right to take away. And then he asks this question. And when man giveth up the ghost, where is he? Tell me, where will you be if this is the hour? If this is your last hour on earth, tell me, and you're taken out into God's eternity, be honest with your soul, friend. Be honest with yourself. Don't be a coward. Don't try to close your mind to it. Listen, face reality. We know not. There's not one of us can boast ourselves of tomorrow. I've often said it. I put on my shoes this morning, but I don't know who'll take them off. I don't know. But thank God I know where I'm going. And I know who's going with me. Because the Lord Jesus, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death,
I will fear no evil. Listen, walking through, not racing through, but a walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The psalmist said, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And when you're saved, friend, let me tell you this. When you're saved, it doesn't take you a second quicker. But thank God you're ready to go. That's what makes a difference. What an awful tragedy. And this was to be the night on the very day of your death, and you were taken out into God's eternity, and your loved ones were to stand at the side of your deceased body, and you're lying there in the coldness of death, and they turn to the man of God and say, tell me, where is Daddy? Where is my mother? Where is my son? And where is my daughter? Tell me. What an awful thing. If they answer honestly, was there in hell? I remember standing one Sunday afternoon at a graveside of a young man who was murdered. I remember his aunt standing there. I was just there as a representative of the people, but as a friend, for I'd known that lad from his youth. I remember when I was walking away, his aunt coming to me and grasping me with the hands and driving her nails into my hands. And the tears were running down her cheeks. And she asked me this question. She says, William, where is he? Where is he? I must be honest. I don't know. I never knew him to be saved. But God knows that. That's between him and God. I'm not the judge, friend. I'm not the decider of destinies. Men and women stand at a crossroads in their lives and they make a choice. Choice, you cried out, choose ye this day whom ye shall serve. Make a choice. And I said to her, I don't know. But if he was saved, he's in heaven. And she looked into my eyes and she drove her nails into my hands and she said this, William, if I thought he was in hell, I'd go mad. Then let me ask you, what about eternity tonight? I'm talking about reality here. Listen, we all must needs die. Not one of us save the Lord's return. We're not going to miss it. It is appointed unto men, not by them. Listen, there's many appointments that you make. And now you're in control of it. And you just say, listen, well, I can keep that appointment. Or I don't want to keep that appointment. But let me tell you, it is appointed unto men. He makes the appointment. That God will give you life in the first place. The God who gave you breath in the first place. The God who breathed into your body and you became a living soul. That's the very God who makes the appointment, friend. It's appointed unto men once to die. It's not whether you want to or not. Remember a young girl in the hospital. A young Roman Catholic girl, and this lady who I'd led to Christ, who had been a Roman Catholic, was lying in the next bed. And this young girl, about 30 years of age, was lying in the next bed, and the curtains were pulled around, and the priest came in, and the young girl was dying of cancer. And the priest was uttering things to her, and she looked and she cried, because my friend was listening. She said, Father, I don't want to die. I'm afraid to die. And he put his hand upon her and puts her down in the bed. He says, you know you have to. You know you have to. And he walked out. Listen, friend. Yes, you have to. But you don't need to die hopeless. You don't need to die alone. You don't need to die unsaved. You don't need to die unconverted. You don't need to die without Christ. Yes, it's appointed unto man once to die. But after this, don't forget the rest of the verse, friend. It's not over. I went up into your graveyard. Came a little early and went up to the graveyard to stand there at Dr. Paisley's grave. And mind of those years together, fellowship together and preaching together, came flooding my mind. But listen, dear friend, after this, it's not over. They're unconverted. You want it to be over. They're unconverted. You need it to be over, but it's not over. It's only beginning. Eternity. God's unending eternity. When you close your eyes on death and somebody says, I'm sorry it's over, then it's not. It's not. That's this old world. But remember, we're just passing through. Because this is not our final dwelling. Eternity. Oh, that God would write that word upon your heart if you're unsaved tonight. May the Holy Spirit of God write that upon your heart, friend. Listen, close out the thoughts of tomorrow. Close out the thoughts of this evening. Close out the thoughts, my friend, of whatever you have to do this week. And think about that thought. Eternity. God has set eternity in my heart. I'm headed out. I'm going to leave this old world. I'm going to leave my family and my friends. And God calls me. Takes me away. And after this. Yes. After this. It's not over. The judgment. Read Revelation chapter 20. And John was given that vision of that day. And I saw the dead, small and great. Listen. Stand before God. The sea give up the dead. The grave give up the dead. Yes, notice it. Gave up. They couldn't hold them. Those bodies that were in the grave. And when God calls them to come forth, the grave give up. And those that died and were buried in the sea, the grave give up. The sea give up at God's command. And you go out to meet God. The God that formed you in your mother's womb. The God that gave you life. The God in whom you lived and you moved and you had your being. The God you rejected and refused His Son. Stand before God. Listen. And you're alone. Because the Bible tells me every man shall give an account, listen, of himself to God. Oh, it's so easy to point the finger at others, isn't it? And say, they're not right. But you give an account of yourself. Remember a wee man in Macrophelta came to my church years and years ago. Wee Matt. And wee Matt, you know, whenever you talk to him about the God, and he loved to come to the hill, as he called it. And he loved the free church. And this preacher, he wouldn't allow anybody to say anything about him. But Matt wasn't saved. And whenever you talk to Matt about the Savior, remember one time talking about the Lord and challenging him about his need of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Matt says, "What did I tell you, Mr. McRae? There's a woman who lives beside, not far from me. And she goes to a particular church, and she goes to a prayer meeting, and she has a Bible as big as herself, and she's carrying it. And she says, I'll tell you, she's the biggest hypocrite in the company. And I don't need that." I said, "Matt, I don't know whether that's true or not. But God does. But I want to tell you something, Matt. You'll not answer for her. Give an account of yourself. You and God." Tell me, what of that day? And you stand alone in the presence of the Lord, because God has handed the judgment over to His Son. God has appointed a day in which He will judge the world by that man whom He hath ordained. Who is that man? It's Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, the one that I'm preaching tonight. The one that we've been reading about in John's Gospel, chapter 14. The Lord Jesus Christ, who went to Calvary's cross and shed His precious blood, that you might escape hell, that you might never perish, but that you might have everlasting life. And the Spirit of God has brought the challenge to your heart concerning the Lord Jesus. And Pilate cried out, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" Tell me, have you been confronted with that? The Spirit of God challenged your heart. "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" It's personal. It's individual. What shall I do then with Jesus? Tell me. What have you done with Him? Have you accepted Him? "As many as receive Him, to them give He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in His name." Listen, or have you rejected Him? "Ye will not come." One of the saddest verses recorded in the book of John, when Jesus said, "Ye will not come to me. Ye will not come to me." It's Jesus. "That you might have life. I'll give you life. I'll give you eternal life. I'll give you everlasting life. I'll give you the abundance of life. But ye will not come to me. That ye might have life." You know, whenever a man doesn't come to Jesus, then Jesus says this in John chapter 8. He says, "I go my way." He leaves you, friend. "I go my way." You see, He had visited them again and again. But He says, "I go my way." What if the Lord, by His Holy Spirit, was to go away tonight. Genesis 6 verse 3. My spirit shall not always strive with man. God speaks. God convicts. God challenges, and by the blessed Holy Spirit, God calls men and women to repentance and to Christ and to faith in the precious blood that Jesus shed upon the cross of Calvary for the redemption of sinners. But my spirit shall not always call. Romans tells us in chapter 1, and God gave them up. And God gave them over. What? Give them up? Give them over to what? To their sin. And friend, you know there can come a time when God says, listen, you want your sin? You don't want my son, you want your sin? Have it! Take all the sin you want, but remember this. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, and that for all eternity. And in that John's Gospel, chapter 8 and verse 21, where Jesus says, I go my way. And then he says this, ye shall die in your sin. Yes, die in your sin. Your sin's not pardoned. Your sin's not forgiven. Your sin's not taken away. Your sin's not cleansed. You die in your sin. And then Jesus says, and where I am, ye can't come. That's when God pronounces the exclusion order. Ye can't come. Then what a tragedy. Shut out. Shut out from God. Shut out from hope. Shut out from pardon. And no matter what you have, because friend, the more you have, the more you have to leave behind. But if you have in Christ, listen, without Jesus, you're lost. Eternally lost. And I know we love that chapter 14 of John's Gospel. The Lord Jesus looked into the eyes of his disciples whose hearts were breaking. Because the Lord Jesus is telling them three things in this chapter, in the chapter before, chapter 13. He has told them that a little while he's going. It's time to go. It's not easy to let go, is it? You and I know that in reality. It's not easy to let our loved ones go. Well, let me tell you, it wasn't easy for the disciples to hear that. That the one that they loved, the one that they had walked with, the one that they had lived with, and my, watched the miracles that he had done, and heard the messages that he had preached. And now he says, I go. The hour's come. And then he says, one of you sitting around this table will deny me. Peter said, Lord, I will lay down my life for thy sake. Chapter 13 and verse 37. I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus says, Peter, before the cock crow, you will deny me thrice. But before he said that concerning Peter, he told them that one of you sitting at this table, eating bread with me, the Passover feast, he says, one of you will betray me. And one after the other, the disciple says, Lord, is it I? And Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? And then Judas Iscariot, looking into the eyes of the Savior, he said, Master, is it I? He didn't say, Lord. The rest of them did it. Because Jesus said concerning Judas, one of you, that was Judas, is a devil. He wasn't his Lord. And Jesus, looking into the eyes of Judas Iscariot, said, what thou doest, do quickly. Oh, Judas knew exactly what he was going to do. Judas knew that he already had entered into the covenant, an agreement to sell the Savior for 30 pieces of silver. But before you point the finger at Judas Iscariot tonight for selling the Savior for 30 pieces of silver, let me ask you the question. What are you giving up Christ for? You know, it could even be less than what Judas sold the Savior for. Another night of sin! Another night of pleasure! Another day living for self! Is that what you're selling your Savior for? And rejecting the blessed Son of God? And Judas left that table and went out. Listen. It was night. Oh, how dark was that night. But friend, it wasn't the darkest night for Judas. Because Judas went out later and he hanged himself. And the Bible says he went to his own place. He went to the night of hell. Forever. And as we're standing, I'm standing in this pulpit tonight, and you're listening to the sound of my voice. Remember, Judas Iscariot's in hell tonight. Regretting! Never declined! I have betrayed the innocent blood! And the money we pray for, the 30 pieces of silver, he threw it down. He thought that that would bring him satisfaction and contentment because he kept the buy. But he threw the 30 pieces of silver down as if they were burning his very hands. But a night in hell, his soul burns forever. Listen, in the blackness of darkness. Forever. I remember speaking to a lady. She came to our services. She had a very tragic life. Her husband died tragically on the farm. 6 months after he died, she had a little baby. She was expecting the time of his death. 6 months later, she gave birth to the child, and as the child died, she was left alone. She started to come to some of my meetings. And she came faithfully Sunday after Sunday. And years have passed. And God had challenged her soul, but somehow, every time that God called, she just refused and hardened her heart. One night I went out to see her in her home. Remember sitting in her lovely, lovely sitting room. And she was sitting over there and I was sitting here. And we're talking together and she asked me this question. She said, "Mr. McRae, tell me, where's my husband?" I never knew her husband. He was dying. But he was brought up in a Bible-believing church. He knew the gospel. He was reared in the gospel. And God in His mercy didn't take that man away suddenly. Because, friend, he was nailed underneath that machinery. But he didn't die straight away. And God gave him opportunity. And I don't know whether he called. And I said to her, "Listen, your husband knew the gospel. And God gave him opportunity. And if he called on the Lord to save him, then he's in heaven." She said to me, "Mr. McRae, if what you're preaching is true, my husband's in hell." I said, "I can't say that. And neither can you, because you don't know, because the dying thief cried on the Lord and God answered his prayer." But then she said this. She says, "Mr. McRae, my husband's in hell. And I want to go to hell with him." And she sat in that seat and she cried, and I sat in that seat and I cried. I said, "I want to say something to you lovingly, but I have to be faithful. You said you wanted to go to hell with him. Listen, listen, dear. There are no family reunions in hell. It's the blackness of darkness forever." You know, as we talked that night, God worked a miracle. And had the joy of leading her to Christ. And she's in heaven tonight. Why? Time's away. And let me tell you this. I never got to my message. The Lord has led me this way. But this is what Jesus said. Whenever Thomas said to the Lord Jesus, he said, "Lord, we don't know whether you're going. And how can we know the way?" And Jesus said, "Thomas, I am the way." That's why you need the Lord, friend. He's not a way to heaven. It's not you take your way and I'll take mine. No, it's God's way. "There's a way that seemeth right unto a man," Proverbs 14:12, "and the end thereof is the way of death." But Jesus is the only way to heaven. He says, "I am the truth." Not that I teach you the truth, although he did. But he is the full and final revelation of God. He says, "I am the truth." And then he says, "I'm the life." He didn't say, "I can tell you how to have life." He says, "I am the life. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." You see, life is in the Son of God. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And Jesus looked into the hearts of these distraught disciples. He says, "I'm going, but I'm coming again. I'm going to prepare a place for you, but I'm going to come again for you. To receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. Then tell me tonight, are you saved? Are you saved? That's the only thing that matters. Man may know nothing about you, or man may want to know nothing about you. But thank God your name can be written in heaven. For whosoever believeth in him should not perish, praise God, but have everlasting life. Don't miss the Lord tonight. Don't miss salvation. Don't play the fool. For Jesus said, what shall it profit a man? Even if it were to gain the whole world and lose his own soul, what shall a man give in exchange for a soul? And the answer is nothing. It's not worth it. To die in your sin when you can go home to heaven gloriously saved, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And so I finish asking you a question. Will you come? Will you come to Jesus? Jesus says, ye will not come to me that you might have life. Will you come to Christ and have in Christ Jesus and through the shedding of his precious blood and the finished work of his cross, rest your soul upon him and the work of his cross alone? Not the works of righteousness that we have done, because all our righteousness is filthy rags. But coming to Christ, the hymn writer said, O Lamb of God, I come. Will you do that tonight? Lay down your arms of rebellion. Surrender to the claims of Christ. And go home a child of God. Saved. Sealed. Satisfied. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word tonight. Thou knowest the way that thou hast led us tonight wasn't what we had planned. But our God, we thank thee for the leading of thy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' precious name that thou wilt turn hearts and minds alone to Jesus. Eternity. God's eternity and the only way to heaven is Jesus. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, will you call upon, take your place as a sinner, repent of your sin and be converted, then God Jesus will save you. Heavenly Father, may some soul or souls in this gathering in Ballygown tonight call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, the Lord. Take up his word tonight and write upon your heart, but don't go home tonight unsaved. Don't play the fool. You say, what need I do? Listen, while others are going out, wait. We'll gather around this book, the Word of God, and I'll show you simply, on the authority of God's Word, how you can be saved
and know you're saved and be sure you're saved. And then whatever happens, it's wherever you're so. May God bless you. Thank you for having us. But if we don't meet here, be sure we'll meet in heaven.